My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man. On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That young man, I forgive him.
All right, that was the voice of Erica Kirk at Charlie Kirk's memorial service in Phoenix, Arizona, just last week. It seems really strange that Charlie's actually been gone now, 10 days, 2 weeks? It's been 2 weeks. It's still hard to comprehend that someone so vibrant is gone, but that's the nature of death, isn't it? We never can really, we understand we're all going to die, but when death happens, we are shocked. We're shocked when our loved ones died, and especially with someone with Charlie's energy and just the God's hand on him. It's a shock, and it's a shock to the world. And yet Charlie is gone, but he is with the Savior. As we said the day that after he died, Bruce and I did a show, and we were so deeply moved. But the whole story of Stephen is what struck me. You know, Stephen was the first martyr, very young, just like Charlie. People loved him. He did miracles. They flocked to him, and they stoned him to death because the leadership, the Jewish leaders, couldn't stand what he was saying. And as he died, he looked up into heaven. He said, "I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father." And they described his face as the face of an angel. And the last stone hit him. He fell to his knees. And he said, "Father, receive my spirit." And so the Father did. And so we don't have to worry about where Charlie is. We don't have to pray for his soul, as I think our Catholic brethren, who are misguided by the whole concept. You know, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And on the cross, Jesus said to the thief that he had forgiven, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." All right, so we're pretty confident we know where Charlie is, but a week has passed, or two, and some of you may have missed this service. And I'm telling you, there was such power in that place. 300,000 people in two different stadiums in Phoenix, and 100 million people all over the world. Well, that doesn't, you know, people watch, soccer. There are, 100 million people watching. But there was something incredible about this event. And the point that we want to make, of course, it's not just one event. This is God's power working through people worldwide. And I don't want you to miss it. So if you watched it nearly 5 hours, as Bruce and I did, I think you're going to enjoy it again. Bruce and I are enjoying it again this morning, just planning this and listening to the clips. We're not going to listen to 5 hours. We pulled selected parts of it from the service, from speaking, and also the music. But also, if you weren't able to listen, I want you to get a touch of the Spirit again as we listen. Well, on the issue of life and on what's going on in the culture, it's interesting to me, RFK Jr. announced that he believes there are studies are showing that there's a tie between women who are pregnant taking Tylenol and autism. There's just an exponential rate. Won't go into that now. We'll do that on a different show. But the point is, this morning I saw videos of pregnant girls like cackling, laughing, boasting as they're standing there in these selfies they're taking, and you see them pregnant and they're taking Tylenol. And kind of smirking. I thought nothing shocked me anymore, but it really did shock me. But it shows you the spirit of this age, which is death and destruction, that these women with the babies in their wombs would even take that chance, even if they hate President Trump and hate RFK Jr., which is why they're doing it. And so with that in mind, there is only one thing that will counter that spirit of wickedness, and that is the Lord Jesus himself. And of course, you'll see that as we listen to this service today. But that kind of spirit can only be conquered again by the forgiveness of Jesus. And that's why preborn is so powerful, because they present the gospel, the forgiveness, to these girls that are thinking about terminating their babies. And lives are changed. Babies are saved, but so are moms, at least spiritually saved. Can you imagine that? And so that's why preborn is just a perfect match for this show. And if you'd like to help them, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. Well, you're listening to Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. We're on all podcast platforms. You can hear us on, of course, AFR.net is our home base, but you can also listen at sandyrios.com. It's very simple to do that. You can find us on social media and all of those things. Well, I've said enough for today, because I really, really, really want you to hear parts of this service. This was Charlie Kirk's memorial in Phoenix. We're going to start after this break with the opening music. And you're going to hear a lot of music today, because you know I love music, and because I think God loves music. And I think this is going to set the stage for all the things you're going to hear on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Create. is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Come on, church.
This is going on as the secretaries of the cabinet are coming in one at a time, soberly. Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard and others. How great is our God? How great is our God? Name above all names, worthy of our praise.
How great is our God? Sing with me. How
our God. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we just lift our hands all across this place? Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God.
Chris Tomlin, and that's how the service began, the memorial, the celebration. 300,000 people between two stadiums in Arizona and 100 million at least around the world watching. And I'm going to get into the world a little bit later. It's ironic. Bruce and I must have listened to this, I can't tell you how many times, as we drove through the mountains of New Hampshire and up into Maine, because we've been gone. We were in Boston and then there, and we stopped in the mountains and watched the service, overlooking this beautiful mountain. And it reminded me very much of Revelation. And I asked Bruce, my sweetheart, who's right here with me, we actually chose the second song, How Great Is Our God, for our wedding 15 years ago. And we just love it because it sets the table. Name above all names, worthy of our praise. Here we have the leaders of the free world just bowing before God because they understand their place, and that is a miracle in itself. Bruce, would you read that? You have such a great voice. So I've asked Bruce to read that, just a short passage in Revelation 1.
From the revelation of Jesus Christ, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty.
Amen. Well, this is interesting because this is a post that came to me. Part of this is cut off, but this is a person in Great Britain who wrote a letter to the Americans after the service, after the memorial, and he said, "My dear American friends, we British Christians would get excited when once a year Queen Elizabeth would quote a verse at Christmas time." She said, but at Charlie Kirk's memorial service, we watched by tens of millions. I just heard multiple clear presentations of the gospel from men like Rob McCoy, Frank Turek, with clear calls to repentance and faith, worship songs full of scripture sung by tens of thousands live and millions at home, personal testimonies, and lives transformed by the work of Christ and the witness of believers. Demonstration and explanation of the value of marriage, child rearing, and family. Calls to Romans 13 for the government to bear the sword for the protection of good and punishment of the wicked. Declarations of spiritual warfare on the forces of evil and promises to endure no matter the cost. Calls to be prophets and call the nation to repent. more scripture references and Bible readings than I can count, and a widow publicly forgiving her husband's killer because Christ forgave his killer on the cross. All of it done before and by the most powerful people in your nation and in the world. You guys should be on your knees thanking God for your country. It is a light to the world. And, you know, as Britain is going through so much, I mean, they've got a problem with the Islamic influx with pedophilia, and we've talked about this, raping little girls, and the police do nothing about it. They have these rape rings. It's a nightmare. So people are beginning to come out, and they're feeling desperate because, really, Britain is kind of almost gone. Some people are saying it's gone. So the world is looking to us, and it's not. I think Jesus is using us again. Bruce, and I guess I have to tell you, I wasn't sure America would ever regain its love of God and its spiritual fervor. So this is pretty shocking to me, the believer. Yeah, you should believe that.
I totally concur with you. I have been very skeptical that America would ever experience a revival. I don't like saying that, but I have been. When we were in Boston, we walked through Boston Common, which, you know, is where patriotism really was birthed out of that area. And what was going on Saturday? A marijuana festival. I've never seen more drugged out people doing totally worthless things all afternoon. And I thought, is this where we are as a country?
Yeah, now, you know, Bruce, and I should add that we specifically wanted to walk there. I did, because I, during the marriage fight, because Massachusetts was the first state to start marrying same-sex couples, I spoke there on Boston Commons. It was filled with thousands of people who were upset and disturbed about what was happening in their state at that time, and spoke to them along with the cardinal. It was amazing. So we walked through it this time, and it's just a drug fest. It's just how degraded we have become, and we're trying to stop that. And this memorial to Charlie, the line in the sand that we're going to let people hear that was drawn, is just a jolt in the arm for those of us that are believers in Christ. I think we're going to play a little clip later. Tucker Carlson said that the Holy Spirit is humming like a tuning fork in this service, humming like a tuning fork. And it certainly was. And it's not just a one-time thing, of course. So let's talk about these. I mentioned that these cabinet members were present. And many were present who didn't say anything. I think, I don't know who you saw, Bruce. I saw Tulsi Gabbard come in. She spoke.
Yes. Uh-huh. And other officials. Mike Johnson was there, though he did not speak. There were several people there. I don't know how they were selected. But all I can tell you is, you know, we have listened and watched this service multiple times now, and I cannot get enough of it. Though we were on vacation, though that music echoed in my ears, how great is our God, the entire time, and still echoing in my ears. And so it really doesn't matter who was chosen, but whoever was chosen and however they were chosen, I think brought such honor to God.
I do too. And I want to give people a taste of it. So we can't play everybody, but we picked out a few, and we've edited these clips, so it's not their full remarks. But this is the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. Let's listen, clip 7.
Charlie Kirk, a patriot, a conservative, a leader, a builder, an advocate, an author, a lover of freedom, a husband, a father, a Christian, and a warrior. You see, Charlie Kirk was a true believer for the cause of freedom, for the power of young people, belief in our republic and our founding principles, in America first and make America great again. But more importantly, he was a true believer. Only Christ is King, our Lord and Savior. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Fear God and fear no man. That was Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a citizen who had the biblical heart of a soldier of the faith, who put on every single day the full armor of God with a smile, as the scriptures tell all Christ followers to do. Charlie Kirk, a warrior for country, a warrior for Christ. He ran the race. He finished the fight. Now it's our turn. My charge to all of you, live worthy of Charlie Kirk's sacrifice and put Christ at the center of your life as he advocated for giving his.
Bruce, that's just
Charlie has heard the words echoing now in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Charlie will take it from here. God bless.
The Secretary of War. You know, Bruce, I just had a conversation with someone who's working on America's 250, and this is not the main voice, but I had a kind of an argument with him about how we need to reestablish our Christian roots and not apologize for them and not act like all religions in this country are the same or equal in this culture. It is the Christian faith that was the backbone. But we just came from Boston, this tour with David Barton and Bill Federer, among other things, and we learned a lot about our foundings, more just reaffirmed things that we already knew. It's most definitely Christian. The Massachusetts Constitution, written by John Adams, requires that every public servant be a Christian. It says it in the Constitution. So we're not advocating for that because things have changed, but that is how we started.
Well, and I think one of the most important things by seeing someone like Pete Hegseth really give the gospel is because so many people, when Hegseth was going to be nominated as the, at that time, Secretary of Defense, now Secretary of War, all they could talk about is his past history as a womanizer and a partier and things like that. Whether that's true or not, I do not know, but I can say this. If it was true, I think what's important is to see that his life has been redeemed. And this is what people that don't believe need to know. You can be redeemed. You can be redeemed no matter what you have done by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he will be your personal Savior. He will come and help you. And, you know, I see the pushback on some of the websites about, you know, these cabinet members. How dare they get up there and speak the gospel? Who are they? But you know what? They're not perfect people. They're regular people who have made a decision to put Christ into their life. And if anybody got anything out of this service, I think that's the main thing, is that just what Pete said, put Jesus Christ at the center of your life and you will do yourself well.
Yes, and I think what you just said is so key. Like with President Trump, they disdain him. You know, with that video that was uncovered that haunted him about, you know, about women. Yeah. And so that he's a misogynist. That was like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, before he married Melania, and he was a playboy. He had a lot of women. He was a handsome guy, a billionaire. I mean, so how would you handle that, man? If you had that circumstance and you didn't know much about Jesus, how would you behave yourself? And the thing of it is, we have a Savior for a reason. God sent his Son to die for us because we are sinners, all of us. That reminds me of a person, Benny Johnson was there. Benny is now in the media. He has a podcast, and he's a voice that's familiar to some of you, but not maybe all of you. Benny started working with Charlie, and I want you to hear his story because that kind of talks about what Bruce is just indicating. This is clip 11.
What man intends for evil, God intends for good. Evil thought that there'd be a funeral today. God has created a revival right here in this house right now. Charlie always had that revival energy, didn't he? When Charlie first met me, I was a degenerate loser. I'm still a loser, but I was addicted to alcohol. I had no wife, I had no kids, I had nothing going for me. After 10 years of work with Charlie Kirk, after his witnessing to my life, I have become a Christ-centered man. I am happily married to the woman of my dreams, sitting right there with our youngest son, who just turned 8 today, 8 months. And he is wearing Ducks for Charlie's beloved Oregon Ducks today. That's baby Whitaker, in honor of Charlie.
Okay, so a life changed. And this is the whole point of the gospel. It's not about good, pious people. It really isn't about that at all. If you read the Bible, there aren't good, pious people in there. Maybe a few, a handful. Mostly, they're flawed people who sin, and their sins are not covered in the Bible. They're like David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. And yet he was described as a man after God's own heart, because God forgave him after he truly and deeply repented. That is the essence of the gospel. I always think of my favorite verse, I think. It's not John 3:16, but talks about how God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life, not perish, not die, meaning that death, that a spiritual death where there's no hope, but that would have everlasting life. But the second one is, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, Jesus, they might be saved. It's always about redemption. It's not about condemnation. If there's any way to redeem you, God will redeem you. If you have any inkling, any breath in your, any inclination at all in your heart to repent and change, he's gonna work on that and draw you to him. So this reminds me, you know, Benny Johnson is now in media, Bruce, and there are lots of people who are public who you would not expect to be changing. And I was just noticing, somebody sent me this. This is Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan. He says, this Charlie Kirk memorial is incredible. If the shooter hoped he would silence his victim's voice, he was laboring under a massive misapprehension. Charlie's voice has never resonated louder or more powerfully around America or the world. So even Piers Morgan was listening and taking it all in. And in the second, we're going to play a clip where an ABC reporter was watching, and we're going to hear her wrap up on that. And Elon Musk was there, Bruce. We should talk about that. Have you read anything about that?
Well, Elon Musk was speaking. He was caught on microphone while the music was being played in the introduction of the service. And he was talking about Charlie was killed because he was bringing the truth forward. He was bringing the light forward, and he was killed by the dark. Now, this is Elon Musk.
Elon Musk?
Elon Musk is one of the richest people in the world. If anyone could have the feeling that I don't need God, I've got everything I need, it could be Elon Musk. But instead, you could see he was absolutely moved by this service. And if he hasn't become a Christian, he's knocking on the door pretty soon.
He's on the precipice. Let's listen to that. It's a little hard to hear, but this is Elon Musk. He's being interviewed on the floor while the music is beginning the service. This is clip 5. Let's listen.
He was killed because his voice made a difference. Because he was showing people the light. And he was killed by the dark.
He was killed because he was making a difference. He was showing people the light, and he was killed by the dark. Elon Musk. Think about that, Bruce. There, things are changing. There was a time, I have to tell you, when I was a girl, our leaders never talked about Jesus. They might say a prayer that was written for them, or they had a prayer in Congress that was perfunctory. They never talked about Jesus like this. Not in my lifetime did anybody dare do this. It was like anathema. And now Jesus is on the tip of everybody's tongue. Isn't it something?
It really is. I've confessed this on this air before, that I was raised a Presbyterian. I went to church, but I really didn't know who Jesus was. And then as I became an adult and I kind of walked away even from going to church, and then I met you, Sandy, and you pointed me towards Moody Church, and I heard the gospel for, I would say, the first time. Now, either I wasn't listening before if it was given, or it wasn't given, and so I didn't hear it. But one way or another, when I went to Moody Church and listened to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, I heard the gospel. And it was like the light turning on. You know, I love in that song, How Great Is Our God, the verse, he wraps himself in light. And to me, that's what happens, is you see the light comes on. And I think people are starting to, you know, I can see it online. I've told you before, just like Charlie, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan, and they're owned by a conservative. And whenever something is put up about the Cubs, all the liberals get down on it. And so the Cubs allowed one of their players this week, who was a good friend of Charlie, to go to the memorial and miss playing in the game on Sunday. And normally that would have been, you know, the liberals would have had a field day online saying, here's the rickets, you know, the Bible thumpers and things like that. Well, let's just say this. Somebody tried to do that, and they were met online by a tsunami of comments supporting letting the player go, supporting the service, supporting Charlie Kirk. I mean, people that normally, I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago would not have come forward and been so bold, they were as bold as can be. And I know that's a minor thing, but I think it's
I don't think it's minor at all.
I think it's an indicator of what's going on out there.
You know, Bruce, I have to say, in regard to your own testimony, I think I would say to people listening, you cannot imagine how thrilling it is for me to see my husband, who before we married was not this. Not he was not a bad man. He was a good man, but he wasn't a believer, not like this. To see him tooling down the highway in New Hampshire and like tears in his eyes at this worship, it's just an amazing thing that God has done in your life, honey. And this is the power of Christ. This is the power of Christ, and this is the message we preach. It's forgiveness and reconciliation. And by the way, on Elon Musk, he and President Trump reconciled. You could see it through the plexiglass. And Elon himself said, in honor of Charlie,
wow,
he reconciled.
Wow.
And
that's two big egos, Trump and Elon. It takes a lot sometimes for people in that stratosphere to say I was wrong or to ask for forgiveness.
You know, President Trump, a reputable source had a lip reader, and they said the first thing President Trump said to Elon was, I missed you, Elon.
Yeah. I believe it.
Isn't that something?
I believe it.
All right, so speaking of that, an unlikely person then stood up to talk about repentance. And now, this is Tucker Carlson. I've talked a lot about him recently because of things he's been saying about Israel that have been disturbing. And there were a few things that he said there that disturbed people. I'm not going to go to the controversy today. I told Bruce this morning, I woke up and I was looking in my inbox, and there's so much, you know, so much, horrible things happening. I don't want to talk about that today. I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about good things. So Tucker, who, you know, I really do believe understands who Jesus is, and I've seen a change in him. He wasn't always that way. So this is with a few edited remarks. This is Tucker, what he had to say. This is clip 9.
Whatever happens next in America, I hope it's in this direction, because God is here and you can feel it. And Charlie would have loved this, not just because he loved large groups of people, but because ultimately he was a Christian evangelist. Our core prayer, given to us by Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, demands that we forgive other people, but preceding that is a request for our forgiveness. In other words, forgive us our sins, meditate on what we've done wrong, how we've fallen short, and then it becomes possible to forgive other people. That is a call to change our hearts from Jesus, and that is the only way forward in this country. That is the only solution to where we all know we're going. And Charlie knew where we were going without that. And that is not a call for being politically passive. Of course not. I stood on many stages with Charlie calling for various people to be elected, particularly Donald Trump. And I'm proud of that. It's only an acknowledgement that what Charlie was really saying is that change begins, the only change that matters, when we repent of our sins. We, me, a recognition that the real problem is me and how fallen I am. And that was the reason that Charlie was fearless at all times, truly fearless to his last moment. He was unafraid, he was not defensive, and there was no hate in his heart. I know that because I've got a little hate compartment in my heart, and I would often express that to Charlie about various people, and he would always say, that's a sad person, that's a broken person, that's a person who needs help, that's a person who needs Jesus. He said that in private, because he meant it. So I guess I would just say this gathering and God's presence, God's very obvious presence in this room, the presence of Jesus, is a reminder of what we've known for 2,000 years, which is any attempt to extinguish the light causes it to burn brighter every single time. So as we proceed into whatever comes next, and clearly something's coming next, remember this moment. Remember being in a room with the Holy Spirit humming like a tuning fork. This is the way. Right here. This is the way. And that is what Charlie Kirk was saying underneath it all. Thank you, and God bless.
I love that, with the Holy Spirit humming like a tuning fork in this room. I love that. And I would say to you, since I was a child and I accepted Christ when I was 9, never forget that moment when the Holy Spirit got hold of my life. What a change. And during different problems in my life or struggles, I never forgot what that was like, nor did I ever forget His presence in my life. And at various times in my life, because I came up in a church that had revivals, they believed in revivals, there were several different times when I remember the Holy Spirit just moving greatly in our congregation. And I have never forgot that. Once when I was 17, all the youth just came down to the front of the church. And it was a small church, not many people. And we didn't want to leave because we felt God's Spirit. This is not just a flash in the pan, as my mother used to say. This is an enduring thing that people will never forget. And as they live their lives, they're going to remember the pull of the Holy Spirit. And God willing, many of them have already settled this, repented, as Tucker said, and made peace with God. I pray that for Elon. I pray that for all the cabinet members. I think many of them have already done that. Think about what that means to our country. Just think about it.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
So we will do part two, but we'll put it up as soon as we can so that we can hear both of those parts, because I really hope that this is enriching to you. If you missed seeing the memorial service, or if you saw it but you're just enjoying being reminded of it, it's going to be part of us forever. And so I would encourage people to go back and listen to the whole thing. You can find it on YouTube. And, of course, we couldn't do this without Preborn sponsorship. And Preborn, of course, talks to people about Jesus, just like Charlie did. Yeah, we're talking about saving lives and abortion, and people call that a political issue. I've never believed that. That's how I got involved in the movement, because I just knew abortion was just so wrong. It just broke my heart as a young woman when I heard about it. And it became my political involvement based around a moral issue. And that is really how many of us came into this. And Charlie managed to, as I've tried to do through the years, weave the issues, but also in discussing the issues, lead men to Jesus. That's what I've been doing for a couple of decades now. But Charlie was the master. He really was. But Preborn does it too. I mean, as they're trying to save these little babies, They're actually presenting the gospel, and I think that is their main message too. It's $28 for one ultrasound. What more beautiful way, what more redemptive way can you get a woman to change her mind about aborting her baby than to show her a video of the baby inside her womb, sucking its thumb or hiccuping or moving around? There is no better way. And so for anybody that has a heart, has eyes to see and ears to hear, it does reach them. And so if you'd like to help preborn, it's $28 for one ultrasound. That's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your best donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
But most of all, God's mercy and God's love have been revealed to me these past 10 days. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival. This past week, we saw people open a Bible for the first time in a decade. We saw people pray for the first time since they were children. We saw people go to a church service for the first time in their entire lives.
Okay, that was the voice of Erica Kirk, of course, the widow. I'm sure you've heard some things about Erica. I'll just say a few things. She sent out this missive after the memorial service, and she said, "Every breath, every heartbeat, every memory I now replay in my mind, I miss him. My husband, Charlie Kirk, was the love of my life. You may know him as a fighter for freedom, a warrior for truth, the founder of Turning Point USA, the host of a nationally syndicated radio show, a bold conservative voice that gave courage to a generation. But to me, he was just Charlie. He was my best friend, the father of our two precious babies, the man who made me laugh when the world felt too heavy, the man who every single morning without fail would look at me and ask, 'How can I love you better today?' And that's who Charlie really was, and that's who I fell in love with. We met at what I thought was a job interview. Charlie messaged me in August of 2018, very Charlie-like, short, direct, and bold. 'Hey, I need to meet with you, urgently.' I thought it was about a position with Turning Point. It wasn't. He took me to Bill's Burgers in New York City. I thought I was about to be grilled for a role, and instead I was grilled about Aristotle, theology, the Constitution, and how I saw my future. 3.5 hours of deep conversation, and by the end of it, I still didn't know what to think. Then Charlie looked at me and said, 'I'm not going to hire you. I'm going to date you.' I froze. I told him, 'Well, maybe we should just be friends first.' He didn't skip a beat. 'I have enough friends.' That was Charlie. Clarity, conviction, a heart that always knew exactly what it wanted, and completely unshakable when he knew what was right. God knew I needed someone who would say, 'I'm not playing games. I'm not going to play with your heart. I'm a loyal person. I'm a good person. I'm a God-fearing person. I want to date you.' God just knew that I needed someone like that, and he said, 'Here's Charlie.' Well, we fell fast, and we fell deep. It wasn't glamorous. Our lives were chaotic, travel, pressure, early mornings at late nights. But we understood each other. Charlie had found his mission, and I had found mine, to stand by his side." Well, that was Erica Kirk, and I just thought you might enjoy hearing that. Well, that was just part one of the service, our recap of the service. The next part will be following up soon, and we're going to talk about President Trump's role in this, among other things, and more music. I hope you will just tune in to Sandy Rios 24/7. But thank you so much for listening. And honey, thank you for joining me.
I often say it was a pleasure. Today it was beyond a pleasure, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's sweet, honey. That's good to hear. So I think we're done. And we will be back with part two shortly on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.